This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Shock, disbelief, so many words now being heaped on the situation. Israel says war is on. First time in 50 years, 700 plus people killed, 2,000 plus people wounded. That's right, Hamas going after the people in Israel, including kids that were at a music festival where Hamas, many of them, parachuted in with machine guns and just started shooting. What you see in the videos coming out of Israel and the territories is just a nightmare. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. It is with a very heavy heart looking at what I've seen throughout the day and knowing what I know, it is just an awful, awful situation. Hamas rockets breached the dome. And now there is so much conversation about what happens next. But there are, besides those that are wounded, there are those that were taken hostage, young and old people just snatched off the streets. Even some Americans are believed to have been abducted. Some Americans were killed. Senator Cory Booker ran for cover and was told by his staff in the U.S. to get back to the hotel and get with the other Americans where they were basically in a bomb-proof area to stay away from what could possibly be any sort of a situation that he would have been in the middle of. And he said that there were people that were crying. There were people that, again, had that shock in their face that you could see, and it really, really is eerie to see the images coming out of territories all over Israel. So that's where we start, and I'll tell you what, during the day, I happened to catch Brian Killamete. He did an excellent interview with a guy named Aaron Cohen, and this is a guy from, you know, who was deep in the Israeli special forces. He was an Israeli special operator. And here's what he said about those people that have been taken.
And right now, there's dozens, if not 50, 60 Israelis who've been kidnapped, taken into these tunnels and potentially into structures where those tunnels lead inside Gaza. The longer they wait, the harder it is for the Israeli intelligence services, the Shin Bet and the Mossad, to be able to find them. And so what we're seeing here right now is essentially the most significant hostage siege we have seen in Israeli history since the Entebbe hostage siege in 1976 under Idi Amin and the Black September terrorist group. This is very complicated, and things need to move quickly. We're on the clock.
Yeah, and they're still on the clock, as he says, that because the people are missing. There's people that are missing, and Hamas has claimed to have at least 200 or so hostages. And there was a couple days in a row now that we've seen this attack, but especially the surprise attack on the first day. But even the second day, there was some attack going on. Israel battled Hamas in a much more prepared way the second day. But what happened to the intelligence? How did they fail to predict this Hamas attack, apparently, that was years in the works? Iran, some of the details we know, Iran spent weeks helping plan the attack. So that attack was just not only, okay, here's Hamas. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard has been working with them since August to help devise the air, the land, and the sea incursions, because that's exactly what they did. They came at the people in these various areas, these cities, in different ways. And they refined what they were doing. They looked at what they could do. Right. What our Secretary of State is saying is they don't believe there's evidence of Tehran's involvement because, of course, our relationship with Iran, how that teeters on the brink. And he's saying we haven't seen evidence that Iran directly or was behind this particular attack, but there is certainly a long relationship. So they're trying to really kind of corroborate more of that to figure out how deep does that help go? Where did that come from? All of that. And, wow, looking at what our reaction to this is, our being the U.S., the U.S. is demanding a condemnation of Hamas at the U.N. meeting, but also sending a carrier strike group to the Mediterranean, too, as well in support of Israel. So Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said that he's ordered the Ford carrier to sail to the Eastern Mediterranean to be ready to assist Israel after what has now happened. And remember, Americans are missing. Americans were killed in this. There will be 5,000 sailors and a deck of warplanes with cruisers and destroyers to be that show of force to respond to something if they have to respond to anything. And with possibly being able, they could, with possibly stopping additional weapons from reaching Hamas and conducting surveillance, which this state-of-the-art chip is completely capable of doing. I mean, we know in trying to nail down what happened to Americans, we know at least 4 American citizens were killed, but there are up to maybe 10 missing and unaccounted for. And this could change because the numbers are in flux because the situation is still very, very chaotic. So that's one other side of this. The president and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had a telephone call on Sunday, of course, discussing the taking of the hostages by Hamas terrorists, including entire families, the older people, the younger children. And Biden stressed that all countries have to stand united in the face of such brutal atrocities. So they discussed ways to ensure that no enemies of Israel believe they can or should seek advantage from this current situation. And it is a really, really crazy, chaotic thing that happened that was definitely well planned. I just gave you the description of one element of parachuting in where there were kids, teenagers, older than teenagers, that were at a dance party that were just completely vulnerable in the desert, and they just ran for their lives. Some of them gunned down, some of them kidnapped, and they found at least 260 bodies at that music festival site. Multiple locations were hit. That was one of them. Then this is what was this coordinated event. So this event, all-night dance party, celebrating one of the Jewish high holidays, they call it. And, you know, they were there on Friday night. They didn't expect at 6 in the morning to be running from Hamas gunmen who were shooting down people as they tried to escape with rocket fire exploding around them. And so many of them got hit. So many of them had cars crashed that they were in. And then so many people were abducted as well. More reaction to that and what the U.S. will do and some other odds and ends from the weekend.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powder Yarko that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powder Yarko Super Tea at DrinkSuperTea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powder Yarko Super Tea is only available at DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Of the show, we need a little levity. We have some UBIs, ubiquitous bits of information or fun facts, plus your thoughts in the mailbag. A lot of your thoughts went toward what was happening in Israel and what you saw, some of those horrifying images that I've talked about from that Hamas attack. I mean, there's just a graphic image that showed a photo of just scores and scores of dead people lying in a tent from that rave that I described in southern Israel, which turned into just bloody mayhem because of the heavily armed Palestinian terrorists who paraglided and parachuted into the area and stormed in on jeeps and whatnot and just went immediately after, of course, these unarmed, unsuspecting kids who were out partying and celebrating and were half asleep and were not expecting what happened to them. So the reaction, especially the personalized stories being so blindsided, right? You know, how was this incredibly held up, vaunted Israeli intelligence agency so blindsided by this surprise attack, completely off guard? So much so, in fact, that senior official types just last week said that the Islamist militant group was neither interested or preparing for war when they were talking about it. So neither the Israeli Defense Force nor the Israeli Security Agency issued any warning that the terrorist organization, which operates, of course, out of the Gaza Strip, was about to launch any kind of an assault that has left all these people dead, kidnapped, or wounded. And in fact, like I said, they thought it was the opposite of that. And instead, we've had this 2 days of intense fighting, and it's led to a barrage of criticism, deservedly so, as to what happened here. You know, so what happened here? How did this happen? Everything failed. It's kind of like as somebody described it to me, it's kind of like a land Pearl Harbor type of moment for Israel, where there was this reality up until a few days ago, and then there's going to be a reality after it. And and that reality is that there was massive failure. They haven't seen that kind of fighting, that kind of penetration into military bases and towns since 1948. And then you think about it. Israel has spent billions armoring its border to repel those kinds of attacks since it withdrew from Gaza in 2005. You know, you look at that fence between Gaza and Israel, it's just topped with barbed wire. And supposedly this wall symbolizes that they're not, those attacks aren't going to happen there. It didn't make one damn bit of difference. Hamas broke through. They cut holes in the wire, or they used the paragliders, or they came in by sea. It didn't matter. They found a way to penetrate what Israel had put up. In a really bizarre moment for me, it kind of, and it was different, but it kind of reminded me of the U.S. being so blindsided 9/11. Like, nobody was expecting what happened. Nobody thought that that was possible in the U.S. And Israel, a little different if you look at their territory and surrounds them and the history of the Palestinian and the Israelis and relationships and then throw in Iran and all of that, but still unsuspecting, very unsuspecting. So there was a story of Mark Peretz, a 51-year-old dad, who, when he heard about what had happened, wanted to save his 20-year-old daughter immediately, sped away from his home to get as fast and as far and as close as he could to that music festival where he knew his daughter, Maya, was there. Just dropped everything and took off. And because he saw and knew the Hamas terrorists were riding into Israel and what I described as the parachutes and everything else. So as he was doing that, and his daughter was dodging through fields and bushes and everything else to escape the gunfire, where in some cases hostages had their legs shot off so they couldn't escape, he got as close as he could, but now he's vanished. So they no contact with him. No anything. At one point, he even went to a police station and then suddenly cut off. Sell everything. So they find his car. Nobody's in it. They fear the worst because he got there and he vanished on the roadside. So these kinds of stories were happening, too, where parents or families fled to the area, ran to the area to try to see what they could do. I mean, can you imagine, to save their child, to save their grandchildren, whatever. So that added to some of what happened because they got close, and then many of them also got kidnapped or got gunned down or various other things happened, and they're just absolutely missing at this point. So there will be a lot of reaction to this. There has been a lot of reaction already. There will be conversations on the Hill as to what is happening from the U.S. point of view. You look at what we're seeing with the Speaker of the House, the race between Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise as to who jumps in to that. And I think the war on Hamas definitely ups the timeline and the urgency for the Republican speaker, and they definitely think that. And that's one of the things already that's being floated with Jordan, and I'm sure Scalise, too, comments about that. And there have been comments from people like Senator Tim Scott, who says Joe Biden, he said Joe Biden is complicit in these attacks. You have Ron DeSantis, who is also running for president, the governor of Florida, who says, why wasn't anything intercepted by Israel? How can that be? Why did that not happen? And then you have Representative Van Drew, who blames the war on the $6 billion deal. And of course, the $6 billion deal was that hostage deal that the president made with Iran in the last couple of months. And, you know, that, remember that there were bombs that came from Iran, and the deal was made to give Iran billions of dollars. So what happened with the billions of dollars is what he was insinuating, is what he was saying. And he's for the country to stand up and be the nation that we are, and we'll have more peace, less. So Anne said the United States will continue to stand with Israel, which is a strong nation, and they're focused, and they have a great leader in Benjamin Netanyahu. They'll react in an appropriate way with this. And he added that Israel is the civilizing force in the Middle East. They're what separates civilization from complete disharmony. And I agree with that. I agree with what Van Drew said about that, that that's the danger of what happens with Israel. What happens, so goes Israel, in this horrific thing that we're seeing from a geography standpoint, from a humanity standpoint, from an ally standpoint, from all of that. You throw all of that together into the mix, and there's just no question as to what we're seeing. I mean, even Rudy Giuliani said the attack on Israel, his thought must have been the same as mine about 9/11, saying it was worse. He thinks it looks worse to him than what we saw, right? And he said you have to remember, within a couple of months of September 11th, the governor of New York at the time and Michael Bloomberg went, and Rudy Giuliani went to Israel to express solidarity with them for an attack by the Palestinians. So he's doing what others are doing and saying that this is an awful, awful, awful thing. Coming up, your thoughts as we go to the mailbag.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey, to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
U.S. USA News Update. Israeli warplanes launched airstrikes along the Lebanese border yesterday while the militant group Hezbollah attacked several Israeli army posts, including one hit by two large rockets. One Hezbollah leader even going so far as to threaten the United States, calling the U.S. the Great Satan.
It is the United States directing the war in Gaza. It must pay the price.
Efforts were underway on Sunday to resume evacuations of injured Gazans and foreign nationals to Egypt, suspended since Saturday after a deadly attack on an ambulance. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas demanded an immediate Israeli ceasefire at a meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Ramallah. A 63-foot Norway spruce from West Virginia's Allegheny Mountains is en route to the U.S. Capitol's West Lawn for the 2023 Christmas tree. Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Once again, thanks so much for the flurry of emails. 24/7, you can email me, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Just click on contact. That's what Neil did. Neil says, oh, so sad, so depressing, Kate Delaney and the listeners of America tonight, to see some of the video and pictures and images coming out of these various cities in Israel. It was a coordinated attack. Hamas are a bunch of brutal bastards. There's no way to sugarcoat that, and not that we didn't realize that, but obviously coordinated, obviously they knew that they had a deflection point in how they could breach that dome. I think it is absolutely disgusting and despicable, the things that they have done to innocent people. Some of the stories that we've heard, I worry for American citizens that are there, some that are missing. We don't even know. It's one of the worst massacres, certainly, that they have seen in a long, long time, and it just reminds you of how vulnerable people who are trying to be peaceful are to terrorist type of attacks, especially in that location. And I don't care how you feel about politics here at home, I can't imagine that anybody wouldn't be affected by some of those images that I saw when I was watching Fox today and their excellent coverage on
what had happened as all of it was breaking over the weekend. Yeah, I mean, look, Neil, I said the same thing. It is just what you see. It's there in front of our faces, right? I mean, just seeing the bodies, hearing the stories, seeing the fleeing, seeing the video that people took and sent, and that's how a lot of those images were right there. So people sent them. You can see people. You can hear the stories of people pleading for their lives. You can hear the stories of a neighbor saying they just escaped. I mean, just really, really, really hair-raising. Just absolutely hair-raising. Vulnerable. Completely vulnerable. What a nightmare. I mean, all of a sudden, civilians on the front lines, right? That's it. That's the shock of that. That is the complete shock of it all. All right, and that, as you can imagine, I got a lot of emails like that. I'm going to go to this one. This one is from Howard, who says, Kate, I used to work for a company where they sent me to Tel Aviv, and I spent some time. I am a God-fearing Christian man. I spent some time in Israel, and the people were wonderful and embracing and seeing the history and being in that country. I really got I just walked away with such good memories and good friends. Luckily, the people that I know escaped some of this. They didn't find themselves in the middle of it. But I find it just completely outrageous and sad, and shows the commentary on our world when you read the stories of the people in the streets. In London, might be a small crowd, you know, that are celebrating what happened to those Israeli civilians who were killed and the thousands more injured in this well-coordinated strike on the Jewish state. There were apparently some people in the Sydney crowd that were chanting Allah Akbar after those hundreds of Israelis were murdered and kidnapped and the word had gotten out, and encouraging, you know, that day of violence is a day of courage, where there's one radical Muslim preacher who was saying that is just absolutely, completely disgusting and disgraceful. And it shows you that there all are vulnerabilities no matter where you live. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, because I read a story, I bet that's where you also saw it, in the Daily Mail, and they have reporters all over the place, and they had pictures of fireworks being set off and celebrations in some neighborhoods over this terror attack, right? And, you know, what some of the people are saying that have Palestinian roots, they're saying, you know, this is our time. This is our land was taken. They're going back to that, and they're celebrating what happened. But that is the wrong way to celebrate terrorists going door to door, gunning down innocent people and soldiers, kidnapping more than 100 to 200 Israelis and taking them in to Gaza. Yeah, I mean, it's abhorrent, of course, that attack. Absolutely. All right, so let's go to some of the other emails that I got that didn't have anything to do with Israel. This one is from Kim, who says, Kate, thanks to you, I'm paying more attention to what's happening these days in sports. It is a great escape. There is something to that. I mean, so I have started to watch the NFL, like I said, and I'm from Dallas, and I watched the 49ers just completely annihilate the Dallas Cowboys, and quarterback Dak Prescott throw interception after interception after interception. What a crazy blowout. Earlier in the day, my husband, who's now all excited because he is a wild sports geek, we watched a couple of other games, including, we did this for you, your Philadelphia Eagles beating the Rams, and I thought that was a pretty interesting game where it came down to kind of the final moments, and it could have gone either way, but they do remain perfect. So anyway, thanks for the great escape. And what do the Cowboys do? Oh, well, that, do you have 5 hours to talk about the Dallas Cowboys? Yeah, the Cowboy game was our game of the week here, where we do this thing, Nail the Score, on Tuesday in our final segment of our first hour, and nobody nailed the score. I mean, most people picked the Cowboy, and most people picked the 49ers to win, but not by that score. Nobody picked it by that score. And, you know, Dak Prescott, the defense had trouble this time around. Dak Prescott has to deal with injuries to the offensive line. It's never an excuse. Everybody has to deal with injuries. But the interceptions, some of the possibilities when they could have scored and came away with nothing. Three interceptions for Prescott, though. I mean, wow. And then Leighton Vander Esch, one of their great defensive players, got hurt on a touchdown, so that's bad news for them. And then on the other side, you had a great hot quarterback and an awesome team in the 49ers. You know, if Mr. Irrelevant throws four touchdown passes, he's been incredible to watch. And three of them went to George Kittle. So the 49ers do have the Cowboys number, and they showed it again in this Sunday night game that you watched and probably a few other people watched too as well. All right, let's go to something else. This one is from Joe, who says, Kate, I've been listening to your show for a while now. I really enjoy it, and I like the variety, and sometimes you make me laugh, and sometimes you make me think, ugh, I'm so tired of the people who represent us because of what you point out that maybe we don't know, not the obvious things, but some of the other things that we don't know that are percolating. And this whole thing with the Speaker of the House and McCarthy being out, I didn't think McCarthy was the greatest, but I didn't think he was the worst either. And it turns out, you said it, he was such a good fundraiser and helped so many of the people in their races. I hope whoever steps up can fill that role, because that can't be easy. And it can't be easy to be battling with your own party where you have so many different factions that you can't get them all together on the same page. It seems like a lot of people are, meaning the things that I hear, a lot of people are leaning toward Jordan, but Scalise, who's also a top member, and you talked about him on the Republican side, could also be someone that could be decent, but he's got blood cancer to deal with. Yeah, you know, he told that. Remember, he whatever it was, like a month ago, he revealed that. Maybe it's even longer than a month ago. And so that might be the concern of some people, like, oh, you know, he's got to be concerned for his health, when you know that there's something that he's battling and he can handle it and they caught everything. But still, the what you have to endure as the Speaker of the House, right? So I think that gets decided this week. I do. And it's just a question of who is it? And those are the top picks. It doesn't mean that's the only one, but those two are the only one. But that's the top picks for now. So let's go to this one is from Jake. Hey, Kate, there was no winner Saturday's Powerball. There are a few things that have angered me over the weekend that we could talk about, but instead I want to talk about those lousy Powerball numbers. Can you imagine winning over $600 million? Because maybe someone will do that on Monday. I guess it's going to be the largest or third largest, I'm not sure, in the history of that game. Well, can I imagine? I can't imagine. I mean, that's what I always say. Can you imagine what would you do with that kind of money? And the odds are stacked against everybody, right? One in 292.2 million. But Monday, maybe somebody wins, because he's right. Nobody won on Saturday. Good luck to anyone who plays the Powerball game. All right, we're off for UBI's next.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tail end of the show, time for UBI's ubiquitous bits of information. We need some levity on a very, very heavy day. So Jeremy Paulson joins us, our crackerjack technical maestro for this show. He's got some UBIs, and I have some UBIs. Hey, Jeremy.
Hello.
So I know you were digging and researching, and you came up with some really fun things. So I always let you go first. What are your UBIs?
Well, you actually told me what you were doing, so I actually did the opposite spectrum.
Perfect.
I did hats.
Nice. I like it.
There's 100 different types of hats. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, 100 different types. And why is there 100 folds in a traditional chef hat?
Ooh, I have no idea why.
Because I guess there's 100 ways to cook an egg. So there's 100 folds in a traditional chef hat.
So that's why they came up with it, to match that.
I guess.
Wow.
Did you know there used to be a law about hats?
What was the law?
As in 1571, Queen Elizabeth had a rule on Sundays and holidays, if you're over age 7, you had to wear a hat.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So, yeah, so the hats were big.
Yeah, so big that they even had a hat tax in the UK.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in 1784 to 1811... they had a hat tax. If you sold them or bought them, there was taxed on them, I guess. Yeah, I guess it was a good way to tax the rich, they thought, because only the wealthy had hats.
That's right. That's why we broke away in 1776. We didn't have a hat tax. We didn't want any taxes of theirs.
Yep. And
love
then
it.
That leads to my very last thing is, do you know what March 25th is?
Well, no, what's March 25th?
National Wear a Hat Day.
Wow. Well, that's also my husband's birthday, so I have to tell him. We'll wear hats on that day. Yes, National Wear a Hat. Yeah.
Big, crazy hat.
Wear a hat.
I want a feather on it.
Feather. Oh, yeah. He's a manly man with a feathered hat. So do you...
Hey, back then, that's what it was.
Yeah, they would wear them. Yeah. You're right. Do you wear hats?
I used to a lot. Not anymore, really.
You don't wear hats. No hats.
They say I look good in a cowboy hat, though.
I have a great cowboy hat. I like my cowboy hat. When I was in Texas, at certain times, like a campfire, or we were somewhere where it made sense, I would wear the hat that I got. I like hats. I go through periods where I will wear them a bunch, and then I kind of don't. But and also, if I run or I'm working out, I always have a cap. So, you know.
I know like up here they wear a lot of hats at the horse races. You know, you got that big hat.
Oh, well, yeah.
The horse races, betting on horses, yeah.
Kentucky Derby day is a hat day. That's tradition. Yeah. Big tradition. Wow, okay. Well, the hat tax, I like it. I like the 100 folds of the chef hat because of the 100 ways to make eggs. That's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, how about sneakers? That's what I have. That's why you say you went in the opposite direction. So what you wear on your head and what you wear on your feet, people listening to us for UBIs, when were sneakers invented? When were the first rubber-soled shoes, which were sneakers, when were they invented?
What was it on Jumanji? What was the date on Jumanji? You put the rubber-soled sneaker in the machine.
You don't know? Oh, I know. I remember that was there, right?
I don't know. 1940?
1940, no. In 1917, a guy named Henry Nelson McKinney was a U.S. advertiser. He used the term sneakers because of the rubber sole, which then was created, which made the shoes wear quieter and stealthier. Like you were sneaking away, right? Uh-huh. Like you were sneaking away. But if you look at the short answer, so that's when you got the term sneakers. But sneakers were really developed in the late 18th century. So it's kind of tricky. It's kind of a tricky question. But the mass-produced sneaker was the Keds Champion, and that happened in 1917.
Okay.
Yeah, did you ever wear Keds?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I wore Chuck Taylors before.
Yeah, Chuck Taylor. I mean, the all-star basketball shoe, the whole idea of the player, Chuck Taylor, and how massively popular that was outside the court and inside, obviously, within the court. And that was a huge symbol throughout World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah, big, 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 big. Sneaker, for sure, for sure, for sure. And then we had, I wore Keds. When I was little, I wore Keds. I had red Keds. I remember the soles. I remember the front of the shoe. Yeah, it was significant. I mean, I can, like, picture those shoes in my mind. I had red. I had blue ones. I had white ones. And then for girls, it was different because it became popular to wear boys' sneakers. And you had to convince your mother that it was okay that you wore boys' sneakers. You know, like, hey, that's what we wear. We wear them. Because it was strange because you were used to having these other sneakers. So, but then there was Vans, you know, how everything is materialized into different directions. But in the mid-20th century, people were wearing canvas shoes from Vans and some others for, like, skateboarding and those kinds of things. It became a different kind of sneaker.
Oh, yeah, I had Vans.
Yeah, Vans. Vans are still, I think, popular in some areas. Right?
Definitely up here, yeah.
Also, kicks. That's another thing. I mean, the sneaker constantly, I think, for sure, evolves. That's what happens. All the innovations and sneakers as fashion trends, which I think is back now, So, but in the 80s,
white ones.
Yeah. In the 80s, you had like Gucci and Prada and all these people that started to put that into their sneakers. And of course, Michael Jordan and the Nikes, the whole Nike thing. And
he still makes tons of money.
Crazy amounts of money. I mean, that was like the best deal he ever cut. Incredible. Absolutely.
Never gave a royalty before.
Huh? No. And he changed the whole... He changed a lot for athletes to be able to have shoes named after them, designed for them, sold where they got a giant cut of it and continued to get cuts of it, right? So there's really an interesting story, too. In 1868, there was an English shoemaker named J.W. Foster who created what is now called a Reebok, and his design emphasized spikes on the sole for traction on different surfaces, because that was the other thing that started to happen. What was on the bottom of the shoe was important. You know, it's not just, it was either style and you were wearing it as a culture thing, or were you wearing it as athletic thing, and what did the bottom of that sneaker look like? So sneakers or trainers, or there's so many different combinations and names. And then sneakers were international. They went international really in 1924 when you had the German guy, Adi Dassler, who had a sneaker that he named after himself, Adidas. And it became so popular, Adidas. I remember that was one of the companies that pitched Michael Jordan and his family.
I think that's the one that he initially wanted to go
for. Yeah, he wanted it because everybody knew Adidas. People were wearing Adidas.
And he always wore the Adidas jumpsuits. Yeah.
It is so interesting to me. I mean, and now I think it's always evolving. And it's definitely in America we have an obsession with, if you want to call them sneakers, we definitely do. And you can see that depending on what somebody does athletic-wise, or even just wearing them for your feet. When you're older, when you're younger, what they look like, the whole thing. I mean, now we've got sneakers that are better. Like the rage right now is, and I have a pair of them, they're called Hokus. And they're supposed to be so much better for your feet, right? So if you're walking long distances or even an athletic kind of thing, it's a running shoe, performance wear kind of shoe. They have them for men and women.
I should look them up and get a pair.
Yeah, I like them. I do. I like them because that fits with some of the things that I'm doing.
I'm
sure we have
with the Hey Dudes.
Grandpa shoes. I'm sure we have entertained everybody with hats and shoes and taxes and everything else in between. Thank you, Jeremy Paulson.
You're welcome.
All right, and as we leave you for this hour anyway, think of the people in Israel and just imagine what they're going through now. We know, as we did here many times in America, including my best comparison is what happened on 9/11. My friends, be safe, be sane, and for goodness sake, be happy.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.